This morning, we are starting our new series called Peeled, What's Under Your Skin, in which we're going to be exploring the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we live in a culture that is obsessed with outward appearance, don't we? Fashion is big business, and appearance is used to sell anything from perfume to burgers even. You know, people are obsessed by what everybody else looks like. Instagram is full of pictures of people taking photos of themselves in the mirror. It's full of that. Outward appearance is so important to everyone. But God is interested in what is under our skin. God examines our hearts and he knows our thoughts. He doesn't just see the outside like most people. God sees everything. God sees inside too. And he is not interested in a shiny exterior that has a rotting inside. God isn't interested in imitation, like kind of plastic display fruit. God is interested in our hearts, in our minds. God's interested on the inside. So, in this series, we're going to be exploring what life in the Spirit produces, what fruit is cultivated when we're walking with God, when we allow God in the inside of us. And to do that, we're going to be looking at Galatians 5. So, will you turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading from verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you don't do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So in this book, Paul is writing to the Galatian church. The Galatian church, they'd already heard the gospel. They'd heard the amazing message of grace offered through the sacrifice of Jesus. But they'd fallen back into their old ways. They'd fallen back into this thinking that said, if you follow the letter of the law, you'll be saved. They'd fallen back into legalism, thinking it was about religion, thinking about it was about following the law. That faith was in some way not sufficient, that it needed adding to by what you do. By what you do, what you follow. And Paul is writing to say, no, this isn't it. This wasn't the message that I shared with you. We're not saved by outwardly following the letter of the law. We're not saved by our works. We don't do certain things to win God's favor, to make him love us more. It's impossible for us to fulfill the law on our own. Instead, we're saved by grace. Now, that doesn't mean that Christians are to go on willfully sinning once they've been saved. We're not just to carry on living as before, being controlled by our sin. Paul says, don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. We're made free by grace, but not free to sin, free from sin. That's the kind of freedom that grace has bought us. You can't add anything to grace. It's already beautiful and amazing and incredible and saving. You can't add anything to grace. But Paul writes there's a battle that goes on within us. The sinful nature or the flesh wants to do the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do in us. It's like a tug of war where the flesh wants to pull us in one direction and the Holy Spirit wants to take us in another. And we read in that passage, don't we, about the results of following the flesh, of following that sinful nature. The passage says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Now, it is easy to read this passage and think, witchcraft? Drunkenness? Debauchery? Well, I am way away from those, so I'm all right. Maybe this doesn't really concern me too much. But what about envy? Have you ever had a moment where you thought, that person's life just seems that little bit easier than mine? If only mine was a bit more like theirs. Or what about selfish ambition? Have you ever got a promotion at work because you said just something a little bit negative about one of your colleagues and it's meant that you have been able to get ahead? All of these are acts of the flesh and they are all contrary to the spirit. All of them are contrary to the spirit. Following the sinful nature keeps us in bondage, stuck in this cycle of sin. And the Christian life is not meant to be lived in bondage. The Christian life is a life of freedom, the power and the freedom to live by the Spirit. So as Paul said, the good works, they're not the things that save us, but we are saved for good works. Good works don't save us, but we are saved for good works. The Holy Spirit living in us makes us more and more like Jesus. When we become Christians, we are gradually made into the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the kind of freedom that we're given. The fruit of the Spirit is what describes the nature of God. And the Holy Spirit's job is to conform us into that nature, into that image. And so when we read about the fruit of the Spirit, there are 9 attributes. These are the 9 traits that God wants to develop in us. The traits that make us more and more like Jesus. Because each one of those things is not just like him. He is each one of those things. He embodies all of those things. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is the likeness of Jesus being produced inside of us. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why don't we say it together? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well done. Give yourselves a little round of applause for that. So let's look at each of these traits in turn. So the first one is love. And the word for love that's used here is agape. That's unconditional love. It's self-sacrifice, unselfishness. Agape love creates value. It gives value by the very act of loving. It's not a reward for the value of something. Agape love doesn't love because something is lovable. Agape love gives something value by loving. And that kind of love eradicates all fear, gets rid of all contempt, and washes away apathy completely. Joy. Joy is a delight in God, regardless of the circumstances. Now, that is not to be confused with happiness, which is dependent on what is going on around us. Joy leaves no room for despair. Peace. Peace is a real confidence and security in God. Peace squashes worry completely. Patience, remaining steadfast in the face of troubles or suffering. You know, patience washes away all anger and all resentment. Kindness, being tender-hearted, being gracious and helpful towards others. Kindness leaves no room for hard-heartedness in us. Goodness, it's about practicing God's moral character to others. Goodness has integrity. Goodness destroys hypocrisy. Faithfulness, a consistent trust in God, a persistent loyalty. Faithfulness gets rid of doubt. Gentleness is putting others before yourself, having a real humility. Gentleness cancels out all self-importance and superiority. And self-control, being disciplined and rational. Self-control kills impulsivity. Now, over the course of this sermon series, we're going to be looking in more depth at each of these traits as the weeks go on. But I want to make this point. Even though there are 9 traits listed, The fruit of the Spirit is fruit. It's not fruits. The word is singular, not plural. Now, fruit is in the singular here because these nine traits are all connected. It's one fruit. You can't have peace without love. You can't have kindness without faithfulness. You can't have self-control without joy. They are all connected to each other. And God doesn't want to just grow some of these traits in us. God wants us to have all of these traits. God wants this fruit, all of it, to be growing in us. The fullness of Jesus to be developing in us. We need all of these attributes to be conformed into the likeness of Christ. So as the passage says, as Christians, our flesh has been crucified with Christ and the Spirit will bear fruit in our life. And this shift changes everything. Change for us and change for the world around us. For us individually, if we're fruitful, we're fulfilled because we're being made into what we're meant to be. That's what we're designed to be. We're made to be in a relationship with God. We are built to love him and to be loved by him. We're designed to reflect his character, to be like him. And those results of the flesh, of the sinful nature that Paul talked about in this passage, they're the barriers. They're the things that get in the way, that can block our relationship with God. And yet we're built to be in that relationship. For the wide world, if we're fruitful, we can be used by God. We can be useful for the kingdom. You know, unless you're a gardener, a lot of us probably wouldn't recognize an apple tree unless it has apples growing on it. You recognize a tree by its fruit. And in the same way, people should be able to recognize Christians from the way that we live, from the way that we react, from the way that we behave, from the way that we speak, from the choices that we make. People should recognize us by our fruit. We should be the people who are known for radical love. Our friends and family should see joy in us, should see peace and kindness and gentleness. The people around us should see that fruit in us. Christians should look like God. There should be a family likeness. There was once a little girl who was drawing a picture in her class. And the teacher came up and said, "What are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And the teacher said, "Oh, well, you can't do that because no one knows what God looks like." Quick as a flash, she said, "They will in a minute." The fruit of the Spirit is vital to our witness, vital to showing, to us showing Jesus to other people. We should be distinguished by our fruit. Now, in terms of the work of the Holy Spirit, sometimes Christians have overemphasized the gifts of the Spirit while underemphasizing the fruit of the Spirit. We're not meant to be a people who talk about prophecy but overlook kindness. We're not meant to be a people who get excited about miracles but ignore faithfulness. We're not meant to be a people who prize teaching but don't crave self-control. That's what Paul was addressing when he was talking to the Corinthian church. They were more interested in the gifts, but not interested in the fruit. They were demonstrating the gifts even, but they weren't displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm saying the gifts of the Spirit are important. They are so important. But we need to develop the fruit too. Because we could prophesy, we could sing in tongues, but unless we have love, what are we? A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. All of us should be growing the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is for every single Christian to grow. Now, I reckon all of us need more fruit in our lives. Who needs more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control? I know I do. So how do we cultivate this fruit? How do we make sure that this fruit is growing in our lives? I want to look at four things we need to know about cultivating fruit in our lives. The first thing we need to know about cultivating fruit is that it's the Holy Spirit who changes us. Paul says we need to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. We can't grow fruit on our own. It'd be like trying to grow apples without an apple tree. You could leave a seed on your counter in the kitchen, but nothing's going to happen. It's not going to grow on its own. It just won't work. To cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. But when we're baptized in the Spirit, we are completely filled. Nicky Gumbel describes it as the difference between a pilot light and a full flame. The Apostle Paul tells us that not only are we meant to be immersed in the Spirit, but we're meant to be filled again and again to continue being filled. All change requires the Holy Spirit. And in that battle between the flesh and the Spirit that we read about, our sinful nature, the desires of the flesh, they've got to be replaced by a desire for God, by a hunger for more of Him, by a desire to keep being filled by the Holy Spirit. If we want more love and more peace and more joy and more of the other traits, we need to choose to be filled by Him and to reject the flesh. We need to choose to plant the right seeds. Harmony instead of discord. Faith instead of fear. Love instead of hate. Humility instead of pride. We need to choose the right seeds. The fruit of the Spirit comes through that kind of obedience. It comes through us walking in line with the Spirit by staying close to God and being filled by the Spirit, being fully ablaze with the Spirit. So if we're going to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. The second thing we need to know about cultivating fruit is that in order for fruit to grow, the right conditions are needed. You know, you can't plant a tree in the corner of a dark room and expect it to grow. A tree needs deep soil. It needs light. It needs water. In the early stages, it might need protecting from the frost. It needs the right conditions in order to grow. And if we want to cultivate fruit in our lives, we need the right conditions. We need to be praying regularly. We need to be reading the Bible regularly. We need that light and that watering in order for us to grow, in order for us to develop those deep roots. You know, it's going to be hard to develop the character of Jesus if we don't spend time with Jesus. You know, children look like their parents, and they look like their parents because of the genes, because of the DNA. But they also look like their parents because of mannerisms. Families tend to develop the same mannerisms, and that's often why they look like each other as well. We need to be around Jesus if we're going to develop his mannerisms. We need to be spending time with him. And what else we need is other Christians around us. You cannot develop fruit in isolation. We need each other. We need to be connected into a church family, into a community where we can grow and serve and give. After all, what's a grape that's disconnected from the vine? A raisin. Turn to your neighbour and say, don't be a raisin. Cultivating fruit is not a passive exercise. We need to continually choose the right conditions, to reject the sinful nature, to choose to walk in the Spirit. If we're going to cultivate fruit, we need those right conditions. Turn to somebody next to you and say, the right conditions. The third thing that we need to know about cultivating fruit is that change happens from the inside out. Becoming more fruitful is truly an inside job. The internal changes that take place have an external effect, but what grows on the inside will eventually show on the outside. The inside is vital to this process. An external display of fruit without the Spirit is not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you can be doing good things that are not God things. There might be somebody who is giving to charity or serving in church even. But if that isn't coming out of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not sustainable. It's not transforming. If stuff isn't being changed on the inside, if we're not allowing God to come and live and change our hearts, then it's just an outward show. It's just for appearance. We might be an optimistic person in the right circumstances. We might be quite a positive person. But if something bad happens to us, or somebody treats us badly, then we're not going to be able to be filled with joy. Optimism and joy are not the same thing. You might naturally be a fairly chilled out person, but that's not peace. That's not the fruit of the Spirit that produces peace. And so being chilled out, if a crisis comes, that's not going to alleviate worry. Being chilled out isn't going to keep you calm. We need to allow God to change us from the inside out. And that means being open to him in every area of our lives. Being open to him in our behaviours, in our actions, in our thoughts. Every choice that we make, we need to be connected to God to allow him to change us right from the inside out. The fourth thing about cultivating fruit is that it's gradual. You can't plant an apple tree and look out the window the next day and expect it to have grown. It doesn't just take a day. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't just instantly appear in our lives. It appears gradually for those who stay in the Spirit. Now, sometimes we can actually see growth because it's that rapid. Our baby Ariella is 6.5 months. And every single day since she was born, it seems like she's grown. We wake up the next morning and think, it's like she's grown overnight. That's how rapid the growth is at her age. But you know, a lot of the time you don't see growth every day because it's gradual. It takes time. We often only know that growth has occurred when we're tested. We often only know that real growth has happened when something comes along to test us. So there will be times when you'll be able to measure the growth of fruit in your life. For example, you might feel really kind when you're around people that you get along well with. But then you come into contact with somebody who rubs you up the wrong way. What happens then? Do you feel kind towards them? Are you displaying kindness? Or does your heart become hard? You might feel patient when everything has gone your way, when every traffic light is green and the sun is out and everybody's smiling at you and everything's going your way that day. But what happens when it's raining and you've forgotten your umbrella and you drop your phone when you're trying to get your keys out of your pocket? What happens when it's one of those kind of days? Are you still patient? Are you still patient? Fruit that isn't ripened can look great on the outside, but when you take a bite, it is hard and it is dry and it's bitter. You can't grow fruit in a rush. It takes time to ripen. I was in Zambia a few years ago for a conference, and my hotel was near to the venue that the conference was being held in. And so I was able to walk to and from the venue when I was going to and from the conference. And one day I was walking along from the hotel to the venue, and a man started walking along next to me, and he turned to me and he said, "What's the emergency?" And I said, "There's no emergency, I'm just going to a conference." And he said, "But why are you walking like that then?" I said, "Oh, that's because I live in London." That's the pace that we walk at in London. It's true, you know, London does have a faster walking pace than pretty much anywhere else. Apart from the tourists, they don't have the quite same walking pace as everybody else. In fact, I once read a genuine suggestion in the letters page of a London newspaper that said there should be two lanes on the pavement in London. There should be one for people who live in London and one for the visitors. A slow lane and a fast lane, if you like. Cultivating fruit takes time. Now, I'm not saying that automatically it goes that the longer somebody has been a Christian, the more mature they are. It just doesn't always happen that way. I've met Christians who have known Jesus for a relatively short period of time and show incredible maturity. And I've also met, well, you get the picture. Cultivating fruit in our lives is gradual, but it does fully depend on us being open to the Holy Spirit. Us being open to the Holy Spirit changing us and working in us. So when you peel back the skin of a piece of fruit, you can immediately tell whether it's ripe and good to eat, can't you? If under our skin, when you peel it back, we want to see more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, and more self-control. If we want to grow the character of Jesus, if we want to bear that family likeness. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him in our lives. Our whole lives should be marked by the Holy Spirit. We should be walking by the Spirit. We should be led by the Spirit. We should live by the Spirit. We should keep in step with the Spirit. We should be fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. Church, we need him. We need him to be filling us again and again if we're going to see this fruit in our lives. If we're going to allow him to transform us into the likeness of Christ. My prayer for us during the course of this teaching series is that we will commit to examining under our skin to see which of these traits does Jesus need to grow more of in us? Which of these traits do we need the Holy Spirit to be working in us to produce? Which of those in particular do we need to see more? Do we need to experience more of in our lives? And you know what? My other prayer is that we will daily choose love. We will choose joy and peace. We will choose the fruit every day. Choose to let the Holy Spirit work in us so that we're looking more and more like Jesus. Let's pray.